After 8 years of delay, those allegedly responsible for the attacks of September the 11th will finally face justice. They will be brought to New York, to answer for their alleged crimes in a courthouse just blocks away from where the Twin Towers once stood.
The announcement from U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder on Friday, saying that the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center will be closed, as President Obama promised during his campaign, and to render some legitimate judgment on the detainees being held there, as the U.S. Supreme Court has demanded. The man who calls himself the mastermind of the 9/11 terror attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, along with some accomplices, will be brought to federal court to face trial. What do New Yorkers think?
We want to give them the same kind of constitutional protections as the guy who was arrested here on Bleecker Street for dealing drugs. You want to give him that? I don't think so.
They should be here. They should be in New York, where the event occurred, and allow the citizens of New York to witness firsthand the administration of justice.
Certainly, the implications of a trial in Lower Manhattan of these suspects was on everyone's mind in New York over this weekend. Another set of suspected terrorists, we should remind you, currently detained at Guantanamo Bay, will be tried in military prisons. That announcement from Attorney General Holder on Friday. And joining us now to discuss these apparent two tracks of legal accountability for the Gitmo detainees are Dahlia Lithwick, senior editor at Slate. Good morning, Dahlia.
Good morning.
And Jonathan Hayfitz is director of the National Security Project at NYU's Brennan Center for Justice. He represents a detainee whose legal status has not yet been addressed. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, and I'm at the ACLU.
You're at the ACLU? Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. Well, we'll correct that for the next time around. Dahlia, let's, and both of you jump in, but how much of this, Dahlia Lithwick, is the Obama administration's particular style of dealing with the detainees, and how much of this is explicitly dictated by numerous Supreme Court rulings on what's going on down there?
This is, I think, very typical for the Obama administration. This is how they tend to problem solve. They've thought about this for going on a year now, and they're trying very, very hard to accommodate all the constituencies. I think they've made it very clear right from the beginning that the military tribunals weren't going to be quite enough. Then they had to really problem solve how are we going to bring these people stateside with massive public resistance. And they, I think, tried to cobble together a solution that in some sense gives a little bit of something to everybody, in some sense makes everybody very frustrated. But I think that the cornerstone piece of it, that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is going to be tried in an open trial in a federal court, is emblematic of this Obama administration's attempt to try to fix and repair the worst excesses of the Guantanamo years, while still hopefully making sure that they have people who are not going to be let walk free on the street when
right.
It's over.
Well, the question of a possible acquittal, that sort of looms in the background. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Jonathan Hayfitz, what about the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed case particularly would qualify it for federal criminal court versus the other cases that were mentioned?
Well, I think this is a very important step that they're going to be trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a federal court in New York. This demonstrates a faith in the federal criminal justice system to handle terrorism cases. This is where terrorism cases have always been brought, and this is where they should be brought. It's a way to mete out justice consistent with our constitutional values and our history.
And if Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded more than 180 times, how much of his so-called confessional evidence could be used in open court? And if it's not admissible, then aren't we talking about classified documents and it's really a circus at that point?
Well, no evidence that's obtained through torture tactics such as waterboarding can be admitted in any federal court or in any court of any civilized nation that seeks to stand by basic values. That doesn't mean that there is not other evidence that was not obtained through other methods. But any trial that's going to be fair and recognizes anything else but a sham in the eyes of the world cannot use evidence that's derived from the modern equivalent of the rack and the screw.
So, Dahlia Lithwick, what are the alternatives then, and how does this case not become a complete reopening of the entire pre-9/11 espionage picture where what did they know and when did they know it kind of thing?
I think we have to credit the Attorney General. If he thought this was going to be a circus trial or a frame-up based on torture evidence, they wouldn't have brought these charges. They certainly wouldn't have brought them in New York. Holder was very careful to say in his statement he has other evidence that we haven't seen before. One other thing that's worth noting is that in December, in front of his military tribunal, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed said, I want to plead guilty. So I think the assumption we're going to have a three-year circus trial is a little premature. I think this man wants to be martyred. I'm not sure that we're even going to get to the point where we're talking about admitting torture evidence or top secret evidence. But I really do think we should take the Justice Department at faith when they say they have a very, very strong case against KSM that is not predicated on torture evidence or evidence that's going to jeopardize national security.
Jonathan Haifetz, do you think a guilty plea by KSM pretty much puts the circus trial off limits?
Well, I don't think it would be a circus trial even if KSM or the other defendants were to plead not guilty. There's an incredibly capable group of judges in the district court in New York who would handle this. It's one of the most, if not the most sophisticated, prosecutor's office and defense bar, and I think this case would be handled whether he pleads guilty or not. Now, certainly if he pleads guilty, it will be a much shorter proceeding, but there's also, of course, the sentencing phase. But no matter what, the federal courts are more than capable of handling it and have been able to successfully handle so many terrorism cases, even in the last 7 years, while the military commission system, by contrast, has been an utter and complete failure.
You know, you were talking earlier about how this expresses a faith in the justice system, and this would be a question for you, Jonathan, is that many people, as we've been hearing all over the country, don't share that same faith. They feel as though a civilian trial has so much wiggle room in it that there's going to be some way for the defense attorneys to argue or procedural matters or again, the waterboarding issue that will allow the defendants to somehow wriggle away.
Well, I think that may be based on a lot of the propaganda of the past 8 years that's really been kind of against our system of justice and our values, maybe a little bit too much television. Defense lawyers, as they always will, be able to make vigorous arguments, but it doesn't mean those arguments will succeed. And, we've had this system around for more than 220 years. It's done us very well, and it was a disaster to abandon it, and it's a good thing to return to it.
Dahlia, very quickly before we go, no death penalty in New York. What's the implication of that? And finally, the military tribunals. So where does that leave the tribunals at this point?
It doesn't matter whether there's a death penalty in New York. They're going to seek the death penalty. This is a federal trial. In
right.
terms of the tribunals, it's an enormous problem. As former prosecutor for Guantanamo Mo Davis said presciently a week before, having two different tiers of justice depending on the quality of your evidence against the detainees is highly problematic. Mm.
All right. Dahlia Lithwick, senior editor at Slate, thanks for being with us. Jonathan Haifetz is director of the National Security Project at the ACLU, co-author of the book, The Guantanamo Lawyers. So, Jonathan, thank you for being here.
Thank you.